Hey, it's Zoe, aka Babe Martin, and we're talking about my new EP, Not a Bee, But a Wasp.
This new EP feels like a big jump from your debut, which was released a couple of years back. Do you think there's any notable changes in the way you approach this new EP compared to the first one? And I guess any changes to you as an artist now that you've been around for a while?
The like biggest technical difference between the EPs is that for Versoir, I hadn't played live yet when I was recording the show, recording the songs as Babe Martin. I'd not done a live show. So that was a really cool, interesting process, like taking the songs that had been recorded and like translating them for a live environment. Whereas with Not a Bee But a Wasp, all of the songs except for one had been played live heaps. So I kind of knew how I wanted them to sound going into the recording process. So that's like the biggest technical difference between the two. But thematically, I mean, lots has changed for me since 2023, heaps. In fact, at the end of 2023, just after the EP came out, I went through like the craziest shift where like I had a big family crisis. I went through a big breakup. Like there was all of the stuff that happened right after the EP came out. And so, yeah, everything's changed. Some of the songs on Not a Bee But a Wasp were written real quickly, like 20 minutes, and just happened. Others are kind of like collages of different lyrics. Some, like, in fact, the very, very first line on Calendar that opens the EP was actually written in December 2019, and it just went into the word bank and didn't really make sense at the time. And then, as is often the case with writing, you revisit a line and suddenly it makes sense, and then like a whole song spans off from that. But yeah, it's a real mix of inspo. The goal is always just to like record songs that I like with people that I like and put them out and then play them live with people that I like. That's kind of the goal. With this EP, I wanted to use like the same instruments on every track, really to like maximize the recording time and also my friends' time who were helping me. So all of the songs, it's like the same sonic palette. So yeah, it ties together quite neatly. We split recording and producing it in two. So it's produced by Maud Minnie Morris and also Novakator Tequila Pule and myself. So the three of us kind of co-produced it. Maud helped with the recording and producing of the vocals. She's so good at recording vocals. Like, oh my God, so quick. Yeah, so she did vocals, piano, guitar, and drums. And then Navar and I did the violin and viola, which was really fun. And we just did it in his studio at home. Yeah, and then playing on the record, we have Amy Borovich, Hina, on violin and viola. We've got Harry Thompson Cook on guitar. I play piano and sing. We've got Finn Ickner from Lips on drums. Maud plays a bit of bass. I play live with Kat Tomacruz, but she actually doesn't play on the record. Baby, if I'm honest, and I am, baby, I don't know. all chronological order. So it kind of, it makes sense that way. I think when you listen to it from start to finish, it follows a story, I guess. I played it, I played the demo start to finish for my friend, and he said, and I loved this line, he was like, "It sounds like a woman letting her hair down," which I loved and kind of relate to, because it comes, you know, it starts at quite a tumultuous time, a lot of uncertainty, and then it kind of like, you know, peaks and then settles. Yeah. I think the instrumentation at the start is quite intriguing. It's often a song that I'll start a set with live. So again, like the way that I'd played these songs live heaps, and just how the set order sort of naturally fell in a live sense, also made sense on the EP. So yeah, it just, the things that felt quite natural, I usually went with. I was like, oh yeah, that seems like it fits. I want to talk a little bit about Harry's guitar playing, because when I kind of bring a track to the band, it's probably kind of annoying for them, but I'm very vibes based, and I'm like, oh, I kind of, you know, when I picture this song, it's like we're standing on a cliff and it's really misty and the sea's below us and there are these gulls in the sky. And so we kind of like tried to capture that with Amy's violin. It's kind of a little bit searing. In fact, that's how she plays violin the whole way through. Like, it's never super like beautiful in a traditional sense. It's a little bit like and Harry's guitar, I don't know how he does it. I wish I did so I could explain it, but when he plays it at the very start of the song, we always call it like the seagull sound. Like, it sounds like the gulls cawing in the sky. Yeah. I tend to my calendar like a gardener, like a sailor watches tide lands. I scan the skyline. What a pastime.
Just stillness.
I was tossing it between Calendar and Sundog for the first one, just because they flow into each other, so they both kind of feel like a beginning. They're both quite uncertain in their content, and I thought it was an interesting introduction, like the way it starts musically. There's like a tolling of a bell, which is actually the piano, but when I play it, I imagine it's a bell. When I was writing it, I was in a place where I, deep down, I think I knew that how I was living my life wasn't really working, and that something really had to change. Yeah, I wasn't admitting that to myself yet. So that's kind of where like the themes of uncertainty come from, like in the lyrics. There's the, in the second verse, there's a line that's like, pulled by currents, pulled away and pulled towards, I ricochet. And that's just like that bouncing to and fro between decisions that you have to make, and you kind of don't want to make any of them. So you just hang out and feel a little bit stressed. Yeah, that's kind of the vibe of Sundog, and it kind of peeps through in the lyrics, but because I wasn't admitting it to myself at the time, it's also like a little bit cryptic, because I was like, I want to be able to sing this live and not have people know my business. Yeah. And that's actually what a lot of my songs are like. They're honest enough for me to feel like I've got something out that I needed to get out, but private enough that it's not embarrassing singing them in front of my friends and family.
There's a sudden dark setting over the asleep like a baby, asleep well, and Angelo's here, I feel him through me, Angelo's here, whispering to me, there's a sun.
Okay, so with April in the City, I love poems that are about April. I love songs that are about April. And so I always knew that I wanted to have my own song that was about April. And I'd actually written a couple, but they were just like fun writing for me. April in the City, so it was written in Auckland in April. And I was sort of writing what I was seeing. I was living in an apartment in the CBD. I'd just come out of a summer where I was hanging out with people that, I don't know, it just had been a bit of a boring summer. And I felt like it had been a little bit wasted. And yeah, so I was writing what I was seeing and then also writing what I was feeling. And like Sundog, there's the themes of uncertainty and decision-making that you know is on the horizon, but you're not keen to go there just yet.
It's April in the evening, I sit out by the trellis, I watch the little windows and the pigeons in the barrack of a building on the corner, the one they're knocking down. Even now the bricks are falling, but I like the way they're lighted when the sun went down. It's April in the evening, the sky explodes with crickets. I'm drinking from the bottle and I'm doing it for kicks. And yeah, I do it all again. I'm the one who makes the call, I'm the one who calls the shots. I just thought it through the summer with a ceaseless lot. But the sun then unfolds entirely for me. Emotions are the same, but something's surely changed. I do not feel the same. Trace the ceiling above my head. They're dressing down the curtains, they're scratching at the door, they're telling me to join them, but I don't know how to follow my own thoughts anymore. But the sun then unfolds entirely for me. The motions are the same, surely changed. I do not feel the same. It's April in the city. It's April in the city. It's April in the city. It's April in the city.
Only Good is a love song, but it's a love song about the very start of something where you're not sure what the boundaries are, and that's kind of nice. Like, there's a sense of freedom that comes with that, and the stakes are really low, and you're just enjoying getting to know someone in this new context. But then there's also the kind of uncertainty again that comes from all of that ambiguity. So it's kind of, it was me honoring where I was at that point in time. And also lyrically, the lyrics are quite important to me when I write, which is kind of why I'm talking about them a lot. I think I really wanted to say as much as I could with the least amount of words possible. So like when you read the lyrics, it's a really, really short song. Yeah, so it's a love song, but yeah, for the very, very, very beginning. It was Maud that I showed this song to first, and there was originally like a whole other section at the end, and I was just playing it to her in her studio. And as I kept singing, I kind of was like, oh man, this is really dragging. Like, I can kind of sense us both getting bored, but I feel like this is a good song. And then, and so yeah, I just chopped it in half. Yeah, and it was super, super straight and to the point, which I think is also how you can operate when you're in that first stage of a relationship where you, yeah, the stakes are low, so you can be really straight up, like, this is how I'm feeling, and, you know, if you don't like that, that's fine, because we've not developed anything yet, so it's, you know, it's no sweat off my brow. So there's a really, like, free and frankness that I was enjoying, like, in my life, and then I think that's kind of come through in the song too. And then at the end, it's kind of a bit of a cacophony, which just came from playing it live. So like Harry and Amy, I made two demos of Only Good, one with piano and violin and one with piano and guitar. And I loved both of the things that Amy did and Harry did. And we just like tried mashing them together and it kind of sounded quite chaotic. Yeah, and we kept it. So it kind of turns into this big tornado at the end.
Baby, if I'm honest, and I am. Baby, I don't know if you're my man. You don't know me, so you don't owe me.
The story behind Summer Fruit, the kickoff point actually was, it was summertime and my friend and I wanted to make a cherry pie and we went and bought some cherries from the side of the road, and that was really fun. So that's kind of how it started, and it was just like feeling so light after, like the first half of the record is kind of a bit heavier, and that's where like all of the uncertainty is like really lingering, and then from Only Good onwards, it's like feeling a bit like lighter and happier and just relaxed, like where. I was talking about it, and if Sundog is kind of like the calm before the storm, Summer Fruit is like the calm after the storm. You never really like hit the storm in this EP. It's like all of the stuff that was happening before and then all of the stuff that happened afterwards. It was just a moment of chilling out in the summer, and I was with my friends. I was really happy, but also acknowledging that I'd like gone through a bunch. Like my brother had a really, really scary health scare and he's fine, but like it was nuts. I'd never experienced anything like that, and it put everything into perspective in a really intense way. You know, add in relationship stuff to that and just general work stress, it was a big moment. So Summer Fruit is kind of expressing that. It's like the feeling of calmness and like just feeling pretty good, but then also acknowledging like, whoa, you've like been through it. Yeah, I would say that like musically Summer Fruit kind of ends on a question, and I think it makes sense that it's the final song because it is a happy song, but right at the end, as things are kind of drawing to a close, the lyrics are nothing troubles me, but underneath it you've got this like kind of almost sinister bass line that's like really quiet and just, but it's there. And then there's this really beautiful viola line that Amy plays where it's just like falling down. So I think that's quite an interesting way to end, where the lyrics are like, you know, really happy, but then there's a little bit like, oh, what's happening in the instrumentation? I don't know. So yeah, I don't know. That's probably... there's room for the next thing, for sure.
Lemons and limes, fresh from the street, 50 cent saccharine. Did you spit out the pip, my dear? Did you spit out the pip, my dear? The pip, the stone, my dear. I reassure, but I said what I said, and I meant every word like a thorn. My friends are reflections. My friends are mirror masks. I'm out for the count and the end.